We live in a world that is very deadly and dangerous. There are natural disasters, especially in countries where you have four seasons. The winters nowadays are extremely cold, and the summers are extremely hot. In this part of the world, like Singapore, we have tasted a little bit of this great distortion in the weathers. The rain can be extremely heavy, and the humidity can be extremely suffocating. There is also the diseases. It is getting from bad to worse. We are running out of antibiotics. The flu has already killed so many in America. We thought it was just the ordinary flu. Most people usually recover from the flu. And then, of course, there are terminal diseases that man can only declare how long we have to live once you and I are afflicted by these terminal diseases like cancer and others. We live in a very sick world, a very dangerous world, where your life, my life, our safety are always at risk. You could be very healthy one moment, and you could be dead the next. It's a very violent world. And so the question is, where is your confidence? What is it that gives you the confidence every morning when you wake up, so that you will not walk around afraid, afraid of every shadow, afraid of every twist and turn in life, afraid of every news, afraid all the time, fearful? Wherein is your confidence? The world will have their version of confidence, and the version of confidence that we have today are always anchored in man, in the things of man, in what man can accomplish. And so we have confidence in education, thinking that with a good education, our life's future would be secured in terms of dollars and cents. We will live a life of luxury. We can buy what our heart desires. We can go anywhere in the world, and we do not have to worry about our future, because it is all taken care of by our bank account, that this education has helped us to store up. Is this your confidence? Because if that is your confidence in your bank account, you know that the moment it is depleted, the moment the bank betrays you and goes bankrupt, your confidence disappears with that bank. If your confidence is in what you have saved, is in your life insurance, that is something that is also as brief, as frail, as the dew that appears in the morning, and by noon, it is gone. There is nothing this world could offer us that is enough to take away every fear in your life and in my life. But not to the psalmist, not to the sons of Korah who penned this wonderful song upon Alamoth. Alamoth means to be sung by sopranos. That's the meaning of the word Alamoth. This psalm tells us that we can have a confidence that is not based upon this world. This confidence is in a person. And this confidence is in God Himself. Not in any man, not in anything that is of this earth, but in God Himself. God is our refuge, our shelter in the time of storm. That's the meaning of the word. And God is the one that gives us the strength, that is the boldness and the courage to live, to step out of our house, to step into whatever the world can throw at us, and we will still have peace in our heart. We have nothing to be afraid of. With God as our shelter in the time of storm, with God as our strength, our boldness to live. That's what the psalmist shares with us. And this God who is able to help us is never late. He's never too early to help us
So much so that we may not see His hand in helping us. He will not be late, that we will be crushed by our problem. The Bible says a very present, a very timely help in time of trouble. Whatever the trouble, whatever the distress, whatever that is making you feel very squeezed and very tight, that you can't even move, that you do not know what to do, where to go, where to turn, that kind of feeling, that kind of trouble, including depression. God is your shelter. God is your courage, your boldness, your strength to live and to walk out in the bright noonday sun and nothing to be afraid of. Whatever trouble you may feel or experience, He will be there for you all the time and always at the right time, so that you will experience His nearness, His goodness, and His presence. That's the right time. Too late, His help is no longer needed. We are already crushed. Too early, we think that we have done it on our own, without God's presence, without God's help. And that is not good for us, because God does not like that kind of self-reliance. Because self-reliance in the world where the devil is God will crush us. We will not be able to stand on self. It has to be God and God alone as our confidence. And this God is described for us by the sons of Korah in verse 7 and verse 11, two exactly the same verse, same words. And this God is called the Lord Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, in other words. The Lord of armies. The Lord doesn't need any army, actually. He is God. He is all-powerful. He doesn't need any army. But then the Lord, by inspiration, taught the sons of Korah to describe Him in this manner. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. That means He can never be defeated. That's why the psalmist tells us, this God who is the Lord of armies, He is my shelter in the time of storm. He is my confidence, my courage when I live and walk on this earth. And He will always be there to help me at the right time so that I will experience His nearness, His presence, and His goodness in my life. Is that enough? What are the circumstances of life that are so overwhelming, that are so great, that may cause us to even doubt that this Lord of hosts, perhaps, maybe, He is not enough? And so the psalmist wants to convince us. He wants to tell us and teach us. And so he described verse 2 to verse 3, that this confidence in Jehovah Sabaoth is great enough, is powerful enough, that even in the worst natural disasters, right, because the disaster in nature, in the eyes of the sons of Korah, are the greatest of all calamities. All right, the greatest of all. The Lord of hosts is so great that the sons of Korah describe natural disasters can't even stop His God. And so how do He describe it? Therefore will not we fear. We have nothing to be afraid of, even though when the earth is removed, even if the earth is split wide open and we are swallowed up into the earth, don't be afraid. Though the mountains are literally carried and dumped into the midst of the sea, suddenly disappear. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, like tsunamis, like the kind that struck the earth on Boxing Day in 2004. It is said that the force and the power of that earthquake that created the tsunami in the year 2004, that took more than 227,000 lives. traveled to many, many countries, including Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and the shores of Africa in Kenya. It is equivalent to 1,500 times more powerful than the atomic bomb that was dropped on the city of Hiroshima at the end of the Second World War. 1,500 times. That kind of force that may cause the sea, the waters in the sea, the ocean, to roar and be troubled, to be disturbed. You know how much force it is required to disturb the ocean? Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof like a volcanic eruption that will spill lava, hot lava, thousands of feet into the air. And the volume of lava that will flow out, that will burn, and nothing in its path can stop its destructive power. None of these things, the psalmist shares with us, should cause us to be afraid. He was not afraid. In other words, as the world continued to destroy itself, to roar, and man can only observe the sea and taste the might of the power of earth, the psalmist says, I'm not afraid. My God is my strength, and He is my confidence and my shelter, my refuge. I will hide in Him. I will continue to believe in Him. I will continue to trust in Him. That's what it means. I will never, never even doubt Him, not even in the slightest, in the face of the earthquake or the tsunami as high as 10 meters, that is nearly four stories high, is coming toward me and is going to crush me. The psalmist says, not afraid. How could that ever be? How could that ever be? Won't he die? Sure, we will die. We will lose everything. That kind of shelter, that kind of strength is not measured in terms of the physical. Having God as our Lord of hosts does not mean that you will not lose your job, does not mean that you will not lose your health, doesn't mean that you will not be afflicted by mental diseases or whatever the diseases that afflicts people on earth. It doesn't mean that you will not be imprisoned. It doesn't mean that you will not be fed into the lions or to be thrown into the fiery furnace in persecution for Jesus' sake. What it means is that your safety and your security in heaven, in the presence of God Almighty, is forever safe. That whatever man may do to you, whatever you may experience on this earth right now, your place in heaven is eternally secured by this great God. Nothing can touch that, not even in the slightest. And that's why the psalmist shared with us nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. But you should have everything to be afraid of if this God is not your God. The psalmist shared with us, God is our refuge. Can you say this, same as the sons of Korah? God is our refuge. Is He your refuge? Because if your refuge, your confidence, what you are hiding, what gives you the confidence every morning you wake up and you go to work, when you go to school, is your mom, your dad, your bank account, your health, then you are in serious trouble. You don't have to wait for the whole world to experience this kind of natural forces. You better be afraid, because you are helpless against all the many, many evils and problems of this earth. Can you stop cancer from coming if it is about to come? It is said that the cancer cells are in all our bodies. You can be as healthy as you want, and then suddenly, after many years of annual checkup, that one year, that particular year, is the year that the doctor simply tells you, you have cancer. That's it. All those years of good news suddenly means nothing. That's all they could do. Can they stop it? Can they reverse it? Can they prevent it? They try. They try to use chemotherapy or whatever therapy to try to get rid of the disease. But can they stop it from recurring? The doctors can't. They just have to wait for time to take its course and see whether it will rear its ugly head or not. but not in the God of the sons of Korah. The shelter, the bonus to live, remains constant. Why? Because cancer cannot take away my home in heaven. Cancer cannot touch my relationship with my God. He will always be my Heavenly Father. He will always be the one who will be there for me. In rain, in storm, in sun, does not matter. He will always be there. That is the kind of confidence that this psalmist had. Because the Lord of hosts is with him. Is he with you? Because that's exactly what he says. The Lord of hosts is with us. Twice. The Lord of hosts is with us. Is he with you? Do you want him to be with you? So that whatever you may experience in life, you do not have to fear, even if the world is destroyed all around you. In the midst of natural disasters, the Lord of hosts was with the sons of Korah. In verse 4 to verse 7, in the midst of transient kingdoms, you know the empires and the kingdoms of earth, they come, they go, they come, they go. All the time, they come, they go. And natural disasters in this part of our world, we do not face any, and we thank God for it. In Singapore, verses 2 and 3 may not mean very much to us because we are sheltered by our geographical, topographical location, protected from tsunami because of the Sumatran belt, they say. Kept safe. Maybe now with the melting snows from the North and South Pole, perhaps the water level will rise. That's why I'm staying on the 16th floor. I don't know about you. Is that safety? 16th floor? Well, maybe climb higher, 40th floor. Dr. Koo is 40th floor. And for your information, he's afraid of height. Why 40th floor for him? I do not know. Maybe he wants to feel what's it like to be breathing the air of birds. Is it safe? 40th floor? Climb higher, 100th floor. Maybe your office is on the 100th floor. Is that where the safety is? When the snow cap on the north and the south pole started to melt, and the water level rises, you think that is safety? What about kingdoms? The power of men around you. Are you afraid? Many years ago, there was a rumor that our first prime minister had passed away. Suddenly, many years ago, when I was much younger, I was afraid. I think I was just before national service, or maybe I was in national service, 18, 19 years old. Lean upon him, trusted in him, that the safety, the security of our tiny little island is in the hand of one man's wisdom, one man's courage. And then rumor was it that suddenly he had died. A little bit of fear. What will happen to our country? Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Are you afraid? You look at our kingdoms today, the nations of our world today. Look at what's happening in the great land of America. Look at what's happening in the great land of China, of Russia. All these empires of our time, do they cause you to worry what they are doing to the economy of the world, what they are doing to their military might and power? Now with Europe facing the Brexit, facing what Donald Trump is doing to NATO, they are thinking of having their own EU army. Right now, the European has only a united country in terms of economy, removing all borders with a united currency, but they all have their own armies. And now they're thinking of one united army without any individual pockets of armies. Confusion. You and I just stand there and watch and wait. Because we are so small, we are so insignificant. You can work very hard in your company. You can do your best. And what happened in America and all these big countries can cause your company to just simply go bankrupt. And all your best effort to work in the company come to nothing. You worry? So easy to worry nowadays because kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Well, the psalmist knows this, and so the psalmist says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, which is Jerusalem, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The plural tabernacles is to be understood plural in singular. Right? There's only one. Okay? The holy place. There is a river. Every city in those days need a river because most cities are built on top of a hill, on top of a mountain. And Jerusalem was on top of a mountain. And without water, no city will survive. And so the psalmist says, there is a river. And this through this river, there are streams, tributaries, that will flow into this great city to continue to supply it with water. All of us who have been to Jerusalem, you know, the pool of Siloam. The river, the tributaries, that flow off the River Jordan and continue to supply the city with water provided by God. That's what he understood. God is in the midst of her. That's where the confidence is. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, that is, God shall succor her all the time, and that right early, so that she will not need to even suffer a little bit of inconvenience. The heathen may rage, kingdoms can come, kingdoms will go, kingdoms are moved, but Jerusalem shall not be moved. You see the contrast? Because God is in the midst of God's people. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, disappeared. That means empires just simply come and they just simply disappear. Never to rise again. Look at the Assyrians, so powerful that those who lived during the might of the height of the Assyrian Empire thought that they were invincible. But now they were easily replaced by the Babylonians, led by Nebuchadnezzar. The same perception of the people who lived during the time of King Nebuchadnezzar thought that the Babylonian Empire will last forever because Nebuchadnezzar was so powerful, so strong, nobody could touch him. And then they were replaced by the Medo-Persians, completely destroyed and defeated, like the earth melted, and Babylonian Empire came to nothing. And then there rose the Medo-Persians, and then at the height of their power, the people who lived at the time had the same perception until they themselves were removed by the Grecian Empire, led by the great Alexander the Great. That man. With super speed, he conquered and conquered all the way right up to the borders of India, believing that he had no more land to conquer. And then God just took away his life when he was just in his early 30s. And then people think that nobody could stop him. And then suddenly God took his life and he's done. And the Roman Empire rose and it was the greatest empire compared to all the other three. And at the height of Caesar's empire, people thought that Rome will reign and rule for 1,000+ years. Again, also gone. The greatest empire could ever perhaps be the British Empire, up to now, until the great Antichrist empire that will literally cover the face of the earth. The British Empire at her height in 1913, it is said that they ruled more than 412 million people, that is 23% of the world's population at that time. And in 1920, the might and the size of the British Empire was 35.5 million kilometers square, or square kilometers. That is 24% of the earth's total area. That's how huge the British Empire was, because at the end of the Second World War, where is the British Empire? No more. It is now just simply Britain. And now we have the superpower called America. Many people think that it will also be invincible, indestructible, just like every other generation in the past at the height of their respective superpower that they existed in. You think America will last for eternity? It will not. The heathen raged, including America. Kingdoms were moved. It will be moved. God uttered his voice, and the earth melted. That's it. They are gone. Even with their atomic weapons, they will be gone. You think the atomic age is going to stop God and prevent God from doing what He determines? Know that He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Nothing that man could ever invent, no matter how mighty man might think he is, man compared to man, America is great. Compared to us. But compared to God, God just have to utter His voice and the earth will melt. America will just melt into nothing. Nothing. All God needs to do is to speak. And He is the Lord of armies. Even though He doesn't need any armies, but this is to assure us, to tell us that when the Lord is with us, just as the God was in the midst of Jerusalem, Israel, Israel has nothing to be afraid of. Even if all the kingdoms around her keeps on coming, keeps on going, keeps on disappearing, Israel will always be protected by the Lord of hosts. They are His people. Even in exile, the Lord never departed from Israel. Do you realize that? This is easily seen by the books of Daniel and Ezekiel, two amazingly prophetic major prophets given by God to His servants while they were in exile in Babylon. They may be removed from Jerusalem for the moment as God's rod of chastisements against Israel for her idolatrous way of life. But God never, never departed from Israel. God was always in the midst of Israel. The Lord of hosts will always be with His people. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The word refuge here is not the same as the one in verse 1. The one in verse 1 is simply a shelter that protects us from the storm, perhaps. But this word refuge is a cliff. God will raise you up so high that you become untouchable. Because the Lord of armies is with us. And He is called the God of Jacob. Why not the God of Israel? Jacob, not Israel. Why? Because this is to teach us and tell us that even as far back as the time when God formed the nation, when the nation of Israel never existed, God was there already. God had been there with Israel from the very beginning of her existence. That's why it is called the God of Jacob. Even before Jacob was born again, because Israel was the new name that God gave to Jacob at Jacob's conversion, when Jacob finally acknowledged and admitted that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, Jacob's father, is now the God of Jacob. And at that point in time, God changed His name to Israel. That's why God described Himself here by inspiration through the writing of the sons of Korah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob telling us the time that from the very beginning of Israel's birth, the Lord of hosts was with Israel. At your birth, as a nation, no mistakes, no accidents. From the very beginning, when they don't even existed, God was there for Israel, even before the nation of Israel was born, even before Jacob was given the new name Israel. That's why He's called the God of Jacob, to give us the assurance. It is not only now that the Lord was with Israel. It was way before the nation of Israel even existed. The Lord was there with Israel. That's how reassuring. And as long as the Lord is in the midst, the kingdoms can come, the kingdoms can go. And it's all according to God's voice. He controls. Israel is safe. If the whole natural disasters, not enough. Because we don't live in disaster zone. Maybe verse 2 and verse 3, not as significant and meaningful for us Singaporeans. But verses 4 to 7 definitely are very significant. Because we live in an age and time where kingdoms come, kingdoms go. And what kingdoms do all around can impact us. And we are absolutely helpless to do anything. And yet, we know that the Lord of hosts is with us. It's not America, it's not China, it's not Europe, it's not Russia, it's none of these great kingdoms or nations that control your life and my life. It is the Lord of hosts. He controls them, and therefore He controls us. These nations can't do anything to us without the Lord of hosts. How far back? Just as before Israel was born, just as before you and I were born, the Lord of hosts determines when you came into this world, who your parents are, what color of skin you're going to be born with, which nation you're going to be a nationality of. All these, what your education, how many brothers, how many sisters, whether you are born with us alone, no siblings, who your parents are, how old your parents will live, all these things are known by the God who is known as the Lord of hosts. The question is He with you? Is He your God? That is the key. Because if you are, He is your God, He is with you, then you have nothing to be afraid of. What about the violence of man? The immediate causes, the so many violent people hitting us, hurting us. The first part of this psalm talks about the nature, it talks about countries. But what about close up? Well, the last few verses describe even the immediate vicinity where people can hurt us as individuals. The Lord of hosts will also be there. In the big macro scale, in terms of nations, in terms of natural disasters, He is also the Lord of hosts in the micro scale, in the close vicinity of your life. He is there. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations, that means what wasteland He hath made in the earth. Every corner of the earth He controls. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. Anyone who tries to hurt you, He determines. When He says it is time, He will break the power of that person over your life. Anytime. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Whatever they use, and chariots in those days were like tanks today. Very potent and powerful. And the Lord says, they are nothing to me. Be still. Relax. Take a step back. And know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen, all of them in your life. And I will be exalted in the whole earth. Every part of the earth, God controls. Not just in your life. And that's why when you are asked, what do you understand to be the sovereignty of God? You cannot just simply answer, He controls every part of my life. Not enough. That's incomplete. He controls every part of your life, and He controls everyone that impacts your life from the day you were born right up to the day when the Lord takes you home. He controls every raindrop and every beam of sunlight that shines upon you, that falls upon your head, all the days of your life from the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb right up to the very end of your time of service on earth. This is Jehovah Sabaoth. The question again, is He with you? Is He with you? Because if He is not with you, you are in trouble. Do you want Jehovah Sabaoth to be your God, to be your refuge, to be your confidence, to be with you all the days of your life, even into eternity, that come what may, He will never, never leave you. He will always be a present help in time of your need, so that your witness and your service for Him will always be victorious. How to ensure that Jehovah Sabaoth is with us? We are all sinners, conceived in sin, born in sin. We are idol worshippers. We sin against God repeatedly, time and time again, in our thoughts, with our lips, with our hearts. And yet, in spite of our state of sin against Him, our condition of depravity, God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. He didn't have to, but He did so because of His unconditional sacrificial love that He has for you. And this love was evidenced by an act of sending his only begotten Son, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, to come down, to take on the form of flesh and blood, to be born of the Virgin Mary so that he will be born perfect, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born perfect, grew up just like you and me, from infancy to adulthood, perfect in his case, ours the other opposite direction, full of sin. And at the age of 30, according to God's instruction, he became our high priest. He obeyed all of God's law. And then he lived a perfect life, demonstrating by miracles upon miracles, accompanied by his perfect teaching, revelation, to tell them, I am God who came down from heaven to walk on this earth, to be a man, to die for man, to die for all of you. And so at the end of his life, he deliberately allowed himself, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, allowed himself like a lamb, mild and meek, uttering not a sound, permitted himself to be abused, to be persecuted because of your sins and my sins. Someone has to be punished, and he became our punishment. And then finally, he died because we must also die because of our sins before God. And so he died in your place and in my place. And God accepted what he has done for us as enough to overcome death, to take away all our sins. How do we know that God said it was enough? Because God raised him from the dead on the third day after he died. And that is the Lord's Day. And that's why we worship him on the Lord's Day, as a reminder of Christ's resurrection, of Christ's acceptance, of what Jesus Christ came down from heaven to do for you and for me, to die for you and for me, so that the Lord of hosts can be with us because he is already in us, in Christ. So all you need to do is to acknowledge that you are a sinner with all your heart before God, and to cry to him sincerely by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and say to God the Father, I accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I deserve hell for all that I have done and sinned against thee, O Lord. But in your mercy, save me in Christ Jesus. I believe that he is my Lord and my Savior, and I accept him as my sacrifice to take my penalty, my punishment on my behalf for all my sin. With all your heart, cry to him. And the Lord says, if anyone were to confess with his mouth, sincerely, with all his heart, and believe in his heart that Jesus Christ died for him, he will be saved to the uttermost. And then the Lord of hosts will be with you forever. He will be the God who will be your refuge. He will be your strength, your boldness, your courage, that even if the world is destroyed and kingdoms come and kingdoms go, even if there are immediate evil people who will come and assault you and hurt you, the Lord will be with you. They can hurt the body, but they can never take away your salvation in Christ. That even if they take your life absent from the body, you will be present with the Lord. This is the power of the Lord of hosts. He saved us to the uttermost, even unto eternity. And that is the confidence of the sons of Korah. And that can also be your confidence, so that this psalm, Psalm 46, is not something that is academic. It is something that is heartfelt. Because to all of us who are born again in Christ, do not exchange the Lord of hosts, who is your eternal, all-powerful confidence, with the confidence of the world. That is a foolish exchange. Let the Lord of hosts be your confidence, for he will always be with you. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to all our hearts, O Lord, for we know we live in a dangerous world, a world where the God of this world is none other than the devil himself, and he has blinded the minds of many. Open our eyes, open our minds, for we have heard thy truth. Speak to all our hearts, O Lord, that all of us may truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior, to know that our confidence is not in anything that is of this earth and not in anything that man could offer us, but our confidence is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is our refuge. He is our strength, and He will always be there for us in time of need. And we thank Thee, Lord, for this confidence that will keep us so that we may not need to fear every day when we wake up and set foot into this world of danger, of wickedness, where Satan is God. We have nothing to be afraid of because Jehovah Sabaoth is with us every moment of every day to the very end of our lives. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.